It is 9 minutes past seven. You'd know that January last year, the president launched this Hare Commission, the Hare Commission to look specifically at the funding of higher education. Is it plausible to have free higher education in South Africa? This follows the Fees Must Fall protests. And I think the protests were good in the sense that they raised the issue of people who come from disadvantaged backgrounds starting 5Ks away from the starting line simply because they don't have access to funds. They might have the aptitude and the attitude, but they can't afford higher education in South Africa. So more equitable access to higher education is what was called for. I mean, since then, there have been different groupings doing all sorts of other stuff, but let's focus on that core call. Now, according to this Hare Commission, which was released yesterday, application and registration fees need to be scrapped at universities, which I think is a good idea. There should also be a state-guaranteed salary-linked loan or loans from banks, which is why we're going to be chatting to Kaskavadia. It must be extended to students with existing loans as well. It must also replace the NSFAS. But NSFAS must remain available for students going to technical colleges, right? So those are some of the key suggestions made by the Hare Commission. But then there are some conditions as well. Students must only pay back when a certain income has been achieved. Payback must not impact on the pension growth of those particular students. Students wanting to immigrate must pay first, which I think is a brilliant idea because a lot of them want to get government grants and subsidies and they want to go and make a living somewhere else. And then interest rate must benefit students. I think this, if this were implemented, it would force banks to make more equitable loans available. And of course, these loans would be backed by government guarantee. So to talk to you about this, Dr. Felicity Coughlin, Director of the Independent Institute of Education. Good morning, Dr. Coughlin. Good having you on the show.
Good morning.
Kaskavadia, Managing Director of the Banking Association of South Africa. Kask, good morning. Good having you back.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And let's start with yourself, Dr. Coughlin. Do you mind if I call you Felicity?
Please do.
Thank you very much. Now, Felicity, let's talk about it. The Hare Commission, I've given some broad brushstrokes as to what it entails. Your reading of it.
Well, I think that there are some actually quite workable things, and I'm delighted and very privileged to be sharing the air this morning with Kaskavadia, because my key question is how on earth are the banks going to do this? It's all very well to talk about bank-guaranteed loans, etc., but the sheer volume of the infrastructure and processes that would have to be implemented to do this is not at all trivial. Mm. So I'm been dying to know what they think because I haven't been able to find anything. The second thing, though, one of the things that concerns us about the report is that the income contingency is only on the graduate. And while the report does speak about students who don't need the support being able to opt out of the system, I was very surprised to see that there isn't some exclusion or cap for students whose parents already enjoy access to wealth. Because I think the payback options and the ceilings at which it's going to kick in is going to mean that for a long time, the money is not going to be flowing back in for several people, and for several people, it may never do so. Yet people who can afford higher education could participate in the scheme at the more preferable interest rates. And I'm not really sure that that's either workable or correct. So those are the two that kind of catch the attention straight away.
Yeah, and one has to look at the economy, right? It's been, our growth forecast has been revised downwards to about 0.7%. Yes, graduates obviously find jobs, but it's still difficult to find the job. So the runway to actually get into a job in the first place is a challenge. Then once you're in that job, you have to work your way up to a particular salary cap or level to be able to pay back, which means that runway for payback for the banks is going to be very long. And once
Sorry, and the rate of payback because the runway is going to be very long, the rate is going to be shocking because it's got to come in at a so-called preferential rate, and it can't impact on pension build-up.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, I'm more grateful to be in higher education than I am to be in banking. And all the students, of course, that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Damocles sword of what the president may in fact do hasn't dropped.
Yeah, no, indeed. And I think the president has got a bone to pick with banks for various reasons. And I don't think that he'd be one of those people sitting going, oh, well, you know, shame the poor banks. I mean, anything he can do to stick the needle in, I think he'll probably do. But that's my own opinion there. But I want to go to Cass Kavadi on this one, Managing Director of the Banking Association of South Africa. Cass, good morning once again. I mean, we've been talking about you while you've been listening. So
yeah.
The Hare Commission, the suggestions when it comes to funding, particularly from commercial banks. Your take.
Yeah, look, these are recommendations from the Hare Commission. We were asked to actually speak to the commission, which we did, and what we told them is that, like in so many areas at the moment, banks are prepared to play a role. Like we've publicly said, we are prepared to play a role in addressing the social grants crisis. But having said that, we need to unpack this. We need to understand, and you know, your point that the president likes to stick a needle in the banks, well, every time you stick a needle in the banks, you're sticking a needle in this economy.
Agreed.
And we need to begin to appreciate that. At the end of the day, banks are businesses, and they actually are regulated in the way they are regulated because my money and my money are held in trust by the bank.
Yep.
And that money needs to be protected. So we are absolutely prepared to engage on this report. We are absolutely willing to see what role we can play. But at the end of the day, we can't manage this in a way that says that we need to lend money with absolutely no possibility of that money actually coming back.
Yeah.
It just can't happen because that has an impact on a whole range of other steps. The report talks about government-guaranteed loans. We need to understand what that means because already we have, as you said, the economy is barely growing. We have government exposed to a whole range of guarantees through Eskom and so on. We don't want to manage this in a way that exacerbates the country's fiscal position. And then the points about those who can afford to pay should pay, and so on. So we need to differentiate between the various categories. I don't see why the state should subsidize my daughter's education.
Yeah. Well, we can afford to pay.
Absolutely unnecessary. So let's direct resources to where we should be directing resources, and let's put our heads together to find an optimal solution, but not in a way that is populist and makes good sense now, but in the long term won't work.
You see,
I think it is a problem. It's absolutely an issue. Let's not run away from that. That's why we're participating in this process. But let's also not run away from the fact that we have serious challenges in this country. And we need to look at this within this context and find a sustainable and an equitable solution in which the banking sector is prepared to play a role. But understand, we work with people's deposits. We are businesses. We do need to get our money back. And all those things need to be taken into account, not because we're lousy guys, but because that's how things work.
Yeah, no, I mean, the economy hinges on all of this, Cass. I'm going to put something to both yourself and Felicity, right? I mean, we focus on higher education when it comes to funding, but I think by then the horse had already bolted. We should be looking at high school education, for example. So let's say, this is probably never going to happen, right? Because you expect businesses to have a bit of a conscience sometimes. Let's say that you create a school or you adopt a school and businesses start adopting young people in those particular schools for their industry, where you identify kids who show great aptitude and attitude and potential. You earmark them as the type of young people you'd like to include in your supply chain eventually. You possibly use some of your ESD funding, etc., to fund parts of a particular curriculum. You build a relationship and a skills pipeline into that particular supply chain, for example. Then once the child matriculates, the business says, okay, you come and work for us. We will make sure that you get a job once you've done your tertiary education. It would be easier for the banks to invest from that perspective. I don't know what you think about that, Felicity.
Well, I think that there's actually quite a lot of that already happening. Where there are, I mean, there's a lot of corporate money going into things like maths and science and supporting particular kids. I think that what this is trying to do, and the link back to schools is different, I think, from the one that you're making, is to reach volume. It's to actually make a difference quicker where it desperately needs to be made. And for that reason, the thing that I'm reading this morning, and it's always hard to know what rumor that's just put out there to see what the reaction is, suggests that some of the money, if the Hare Commission is not followed and the other plan, the, perhaps we should call it the Masuta plan, actually happens.
Yeah.
But the money will come out. Some of the money will come out of school building programs, and some of the money will come out of PhD funds for black professors. Now that, I mean, over and above the corporate investment, which I think is right and must happen, if it is true that the other scheme will be funded that way, that just doesn't make any sense.
Indeed. Dr. Felicity Coughlin, thank you. Cascavalli, a quick one from you.
Yeah, no, I agree with Felicity. Some of those things are happening. I mean, way back 10, 15 years ago, I know the National Business Initiative had a program called Equip Education Quality Improvement Program where business plowed money into developing school boards and so on and administration to get schools to work properly. There's a lot of that happening. But the thing is that we seem to be unable to coordinate. We seem to be unable to recognize what is happening and see how we can optimize that. Instead of that, we keep on throwing bricks at each other, which is a useless exercise, to be quite honest.
Quite frankly, I agree with that. Thank you very much for your time, Cascavalli.